This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Friday, April 9th. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, county urges testing after off-season travel, Capital Conversation talks legislative barbecues, the joys of off-seasoning, and a mountain weather forecast. By now, many San Miguel County residents and workers have headed for warmer climes and spring relaxation. But with coronavirus still a very real pandemic across the U.S. and the world, local public health officials are urging caution as folks head out.
We advise that you reconsider your travels not for low contact activities. So rather than going to a giant resort, maybe consider isolating in the desert with just your immediate pod.
That's San Miguel County Public Information Consultant Lindsay Mills speaking on KOTO on Thursday.
Always honor the five commitments when you are traveling, no matter the regulations and wherever your destination may be.
Mills also encourages everyone to take advantage of the testing opportunities before and after taking off.
Upon departure, the advisement is to get tested no more than 3 days before your departure and no fewer than five after you return.
She adds families and individuals should plan to quarantine for 7 days once they return home, as long as they have a negative test, or for 10 days if they don't get tested. Of course, rules are different for those who are vaccinated.
If you are vaccinated, you simply have to monitor for symptoms upon your return if having traveled within the United States. If you've traveled internationally, these quarantine regulations do actually apply to you.
As we continue past off-season, Mills says residents should still be prepared to follow the five commitments and keep wearing masks throughout the summer.
There's a lot of speculation around a fourth surge, given that the UK variant is now the dominant variant in the United States. So there's still a long road ahead of us. And I think that a lot of people are acting as if we've already crossed the finish line when we're only about halfway through the race.
The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment will be back in San Miguel County for mass community testing later this month. CDPHE will be in Norwood on Thursday, April 22nd, and in Telluride on Friday, April 23rd. For full testing opportunities, go to sanmiguelcountyco.gov/coronavirus. It seems like everyone is in the mood for summer weather, even lawmakers. In this installment of Capital Conversation, KOTO's State House reporter Scott Franz shares bipartisan revelry in addition to budget conversations and gun regulation. Have a listen. Scott, thanks for taking a couple minutes to chat with me today.
Hey, my pleasure, Julia.
So I first wanted to check back in with you on the budget. We haven't spoken about it in one of our conversations recently, and it's definitely moving its way through the General Assembly. Can you give a brief overview of what ended up in this budget?
Yeah, so it's $34 billion is the current price tag. And of course, it's headlined by restoring a lot of the cuts that were made last year, the $3 billion taken out because of the pandemic. So this is things like restoring public education funding. And then lawmakers are actually finding themselves in a very good place, actually, compared to where they were last year, with hundreds of millions of extra dollars to spend. And now some of this is one-time spending on transportation projects, stimulus spending, more relief for restaurants, small businesses. But the mood this week, as lawmakers have debated the budget, has been very positive. In fact, just yesterday, there was a very interesting scene playing out in the Senate chamber as lawmakers were debating amendments and kind of going through the budget line by line. They brought a barbecue grill to the one of the kind of decks that outside of the Senate chamber, and they were grilling burgers, Republicans and Democrats together at the grill. So, you know, we see a lot of bipartisan spirit on that. And even in some of these amendments, for example, you know, there was an effort to add money in for special education that had bipartisan sponsorship. So We're not seeing too many big battles playing out over the budget at this point. I think lawmakers are generally on board with the dynamics going forward, which is to restore the funding that was cut and find ways to bring more relief to small businesses and, you know, invest more in some transportation projects. And, you know, it'll wrap up today in the Senate, and, you know, the debate will start over in the House next week.
Wait, what with the grill? Has that happened before? Is this like a thing that lawmakers do when they're feeling especially bipartisan?
It's the first time I've seen it. In fact, some lawmakers, including Senator John Cook of Greeley, was speaking at the Well, you know, where lawmakers go to the microphone, wearing an apron. It's a sight, yeah, that seemed a little bizarre at first, but, you know, sometimes we see things like this play out, in the Senate, and I think it's just an acknowledgement that, you know, it's been a tough year for lawmakers and residents of the state, and I think this is just a way they found to kind of bring some enjoyment and some camaraderie on the Senate floor.
Yeah, man. The legislature sounds fun if they're having barbecues every week.
It's not every week. And, it's evened out, I think, by some of the very tedious, lengthy debates they have that sometimes go past midnight.
Shifting gears, gun regulation. We spoke about it last week. It's still definitely a big conversation that's happening. And, you know, following the shooting in Boulder, there was really strong cries to take bold action. And that's kind of shifted a bit over the past few weeks. And I'm curious what you've heard from lawmakers is what are they thinking about in terms of possible gun regulation following the shooting in Boulder?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I was able to ask Senator Steve Finberg of Boulder this week, you know, what the status of those conversations are on gun legislation. And you know, he says that it's likely going to take a couple more weeks before they unveil anything specific. He says that, you know, they're not going to wait till the very end because this will, of course, be a very impactful policy that will likely stir lots of debate. They don't want to rush it through at the end. But they're still having conversations with the governor's office and other lawmakers about the political will is, you know, the options we've heard about include the statewide ban on assault weapons, waiting periods. You know, just this week we saw President Biden take a series of actions. Some of those, you know, Colorado's already done. But I think what's happening is, you know, it's easy to say they want strong, aggressive policies, but, you know, in just hearing from people around the state in the last couple of weeks, you know, there are very mixed emotions on the issue. So I think we're falling into some of those familiar debates after tragedies like this. And it took a year for lawmakers to pass anything after the Aurora Theater shooting. I think that could kind of influence how we see things, you know, after this most recent tragedy. But I am hearing that there still is a commitment from at least the Boulder delegation to pursue something this session, and we'll likely know more, you know, my guess would be in another 2 weeks or so.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes to chat with me today.
Hey, my pleasure, Julia. Thank you.
That was KOTO's Scott Franz reporting from Denver. The quietude of off-season has descended on San Miguel County. Restaurants are closed, the gondola halted, and the days are moving at a slightly slower pace. So, KOTO News hit the streets to ask the folks hanging around what they like about off-season and if this year feels any different.
No people!
Going to Hawaii. Back to Hawaii.
It's what I'm doing right now. A little quiet time on a bench. My name is Michael Wyszynski, and I live in Norwood, Colorado.
I'm Laura DePalma.
Jane Wattenpah.
Ruswan Hercherif, and I'm known by Rus. My favorite part about off-season, I'll say, is the first couple days right after we close down. I really enjoy the quietness, and I feel like I'm allowed to be super lazy. So all I do for the next like 2 days is just watch TV, eat whatever I want, and be a little hungover because it's the last day on the mountain.
Mud season is kind of this like
ugly, crazy, wild. Like, the weather can be so mercurial. Like, it's beautiful one second and stormy the next.
This time of year, it's always kind of windy and dusty and sunny. And so far, we're certainly on track with those things.
And I kind of love it because Mother Nature is really beautiful here all year long. And then, like, April and May, she's just like, whatever. Like, I'm not here to show off my beauty. She's kind of like wild and out of control, and I just love that rebirth time. My name is Emily Scott Robinson.
My name is Fletcher Otwell, and I'm just here eating my lunch in the Spruce Park, enjoying the sunshine. About to have my tables taken away from me. It's a race to eat before the trailer shows up.
Looking forward to slowing down and focusing on some priorities and hopefully getting down to the desert.
Somewhere in the desert.
Getting out to the desert.
Moab is cool. I went there yesterday for the first time. Hi, my name's Lane Abbott.
Tara Carter.
My name is Mason Osgood.
My name is Annette Hale. I'm from Grand Junction, Colorado. I've never been to Telluride. We showed up and found out it was off season, mud season. Not a lot of places open, but you know what? The ones that are amazing.
Hey, I'm Lindsay Mills. I am a local here in Telluride.
We look forward to cross season.
Everybody getting a break, a much deserved break. I think this winter was harder for myself and a lot of people I know. So I think this off season has come at a really important time for people's mental health and giving themselves the time off that they need.
Amanda Baltzley, I'm contact tracing supervisor for San Miguel County Public Health. I will be working all of off season, spending all of my time here. Hopefully maybe getting away for a day or two, but I'll be pretty busy on the off season. Be smart when you're traveling, make good choices, and continue to do all the things that we've been doing for the last year. Unfortunately, COVID is not over, no matter how much we all want it to be, and we just have to continue to be smart until we're all vaccinated and safe.
Is there anything that you feel like this off-season feels different than ones in the past?
For sure. I think there's more, at least for me, there's more excitement about this off-season because of what it might lead to. Whereas before you kind of had an idea what it was going to lead to. Now it's, I don't know.
This is Ava Helper. I live in Lawson Hill. I think everyone has their own secret things that they enjoy doing over the off season that we'd like to remain gems.
Secrets.
Building codes. Most people probably don't think about them too much, but they affect many parts of our everyday lives.
The interior quality of your home, your health quality, and it affects the cost of your building. It affects the longevity of your building, the long-term maintenance of your building. You know, if you build right now, build it to code, you will presumably forego costly maintenance issues and down the road.
That's San Miguel County building official Matt Gonzalez speaking at a Board of County Commissioners meeting this week. For the first time in years, San Miguel County is updating its building code to incorporate more modern building science and improve areas such as safety and sustainability.
Obviously, in the last 10 or 13 years, green building practices have highly evolved. So these are all things we need to address with new codes.
That code update, Gonzalez explains, will also allow the county to align with codes for the towns of Telluride and Mountain Village and other regional jurisdictions.
And the advantage of that would be to help our building community be able to get their projects done in an effective and cost-effective and time-effective manner.
County Commissioner Hillary Cooper notes the building code update has been a goal for the BOCC for several years. Now the county has the staff to make it a reality. That update, she adds, will also help the county reach its goal of becoming carbon neutral as soon as possible.
We know that our transportation systems and our building systems are some of the highest consumers of energy and emitters of greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. And so it's our responsibility to get to carbon neutral as soon as possible and help our community do so as well to update these standards so that we can, our buildings can be well on the way towards, you know, hopefully getting towards carbon neutral.
And the update won't just be a top-down decision. Gonzalez says the county will assemble a task force of people with local experience in the building trades to provide guidance.
The intent of the task force is going to be to get input from people that live here, people that are familiar with our code as it exists, what works, what doesn't work. And we're going to take many months to meet with these folks and get a feel for what needs to change, what, like I said, what's working, what isn't working.
The county aims to assemble that task force in the coming weeks and anticipates adopting the new building codes this fall. Forecasts of the Colorado River this spring and summer show an increasing likelihood of persistent, worsening drought. Last year's dry weather sapped soils of their moisture, meaning the river that acts as the drinking water supply for 40 million people in the Southwest needed much above average snowfalls this winter to make up the gap. And that didn't happen. Cody Moser is a hydrologist with the Colorado Basin River Forecast Center.
If you look at April 2020 through December, even the first 3 weeks of January, that was one of the driest periods in the last 40 years.
So now the river's biggest reservoirs are projected to hit their lowest levels since they were filled. And water managers in Arizona, California, Nevada, and Mexico are bracing for the river's first ever official shortage declaration, likely coming early next year. Deb Holland was confirmed as the Secretary of the Interior only a few weeks ago, but she's already facing pressure to reverse former President Trump's 2017 decision to shrink Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments. This week, Secretary Holland is on the ground in Utah to visit the monuments and meet with stakeholders. KSJD's Lucas Brady Woods reports.
Deb Holland is the recently confirmed Secretary of the Interior and the first Native American cabinet official. She's only been in office for a few weeks, but she isn't wasting any time. Secretary Holland was in Utah on Thursday, touring Bears Ears National Monument, and was joined by a delegation of tribal leaders and state elected officials. Her visit comes as President Biden is facing pressure to reverse his predecessor's decision to significantly reduce the size of Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments. Back in 2017, former President Trump announced that he would reduce the size of Bears Ears by 85% and Grand Staircase Escalante by half. But Holland made little indication on Thursday about the Biden administration's plan for the two national parks. According to the secretary, there's work to be done first.
My message is really very simple. I'm here to listen. I'm here to learn. I know that decisions about public lands are incredibly impactful to the people who live nearby.
Holland said she wants to take local perspectives back to President Biden, who she says will be the one to make the final plan for the monuments. The local stakeholders she plans to meet with include ranchers, archaeologists, and the San Juan County Board of Commissioners, among others. Utah Senator Mitt Romney was among the elected officials accompanying the secretary. He said the specific designation of the land isn't as important to him as what it's used for. Instead, he said he wants to see President Biden use this opportunity to bring Americans together during a divisive time.
The administration could do something permanent. The president has a way, an opportunity, to bring people together and to create more unity.
He also talked about the problems caused by jumping back and forth between administrations with conflicting agendas about public land. But tribal leaders, including Vice Chairman of the Hopi tribe, Clark Tenekongva, challenged the delegation of Utah elected officials to follow up on their words by introducing concrete legislation in Congress. Vice Chairman Tenekongva said that's the only way any permanent changes will be made to the National Monuments of Southeast Utah. Along with leaders from the Hopi tribe, there were also representatives from the Navajo, Zuni, and Ute Mountain Ute tribes. I'm Lucas Brady Woods in the Four Corners.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for clear skies tonight with a low around 20 degrees. Saturday should be sunny during the day and clear at night with a high near 50 degrees and a low around 30. Sunday, expect sunny skies with a high near 50. Winds could gust as high as 30 miles per hour. Sunday night calls for mostly clear skies with a low around 25 degrees. This has been the news for Friday, April 9th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206. Kodo News will be scaling back for 2 weeks with newscasts on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday during that time. We will start back with our full news programming on April 19th.